form of pleasure that Allah has given in dunya is what happens between a man and his wife. Ibn al-Jawzi talks about this and he says, if one would think about that, you would see how contaminated it is. And then he gives an example. He says, when a man would kiss his wife, if one would just make tafakkur on what happens and think about it, they would realize how such a thing, without the shahwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put, no human being would do. If it wasn't for the desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put for the purpose of reproduction in the human race, no human being would do that. And if you think about, for example, the shahwa that Allah has given you to eat, you have that urge to eat, and it's one of the pleasures that you have in dunya to eat food, and you have your special dishes and the special flavors that you love. It is one of the things that we as human beings enjoy. If you would think about it, if Allah Azza wa Jal would make the digestive system transparent, if Allah made the digestive system transparent, see-through digestive system, so you can see what happens from the moment the food goes in until it gets out. Imagine you're sitting with somebody in a restaurant, alright, and they eat that very juicy food, and you see it mixing in the mouth with the saliva, it's going up and down, till it becomes like a ball, and then it's swallowed, and then it's not only see-through, but there's also pores for you to enjoy it with the five senses, so you can see, you can hear, and you can smell, and then you see it come out. Do you think that people are going to eat together? Do you think people will go to restaurants? Do you think there's going to be even a business called restaurant in the world? People are going to be so ashamed, they're going to be eating in separate closets to hide away from people. So look at how the shahawat of dunya that you love are so contaminated. But in akhirah, none of that contamination exists. People do not spit. They do not sweat, they do not urinate, they do not defecate. It is pure pleasure. So there's a difference between dunya and akhirah. Sorry for getting a bit graphic. Number 7, attachment to a comfortable lifestyle. It might be the tranquility of your mansion, the shade of your garden, the comfort of your bed, the amenities of life that are surrounding you and making your life pleasant and pain-free, that is keeping you away from jihad fi sabilillah. But remember that none of that would last forever. Your mansion is nothing but stones, bricks, and mortar. If it is not cleaned, it would rot. And if it's not maintained, it would fall apart. And eventually it would turn into the dirt it was made from. Wouldn't you prefer to live in a palace built from bricks of gold and silver? A palace that is everlasting and doesn't need cleaning or maintenance? Its furniture is chosen and arranged by angels. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَنَمَارِقْ مَصْفُوفَ. نَمَارِقْ مَصْفُوفَ is the furniture. مَصْفُوفَ laid out by who? So the furniture of your mansion is laid out by the angels. They are the ones who choose where to put the furniture. And I think there's a special profession for that in dunya, you know. Interior design, exactly, interior design. The interior designers of your mansions in Jannah are angels. They will design the layout of your mansion in paradise. So you would come with your wife and everything is just ready, laid out for you. Its furniture is chosen and arranged by angels. In it, you would be served with the best food by servants whom Allah says about them. They will circulate among them young boys made eternal. When you see them, you would think them as beautiful as scattered pearls. Al-Insan, verse 19. In paradise, everything is clean. Everything is pure. There's no call to nature or sweating. Our bodies will come in a different form. إِنْشَأْنَاهُمْ خَلْقًا آخَرٌ. Life therein is infinite. There's no time pressure. The people of paradise are free to do what they like, whenever they like, and for as long as they like. One of them could recline on his throne for 40 years talking to his wife. I only wonder what they would be talking about for 40 years. Yeah. Now, that's in dunya, and akhirah you're going to take revenge and you're going to be doing the Subhanallah, when you think about this concept of time, because there is no time limit in akhirah, because it's infinite, it's eternal. If you come out of your mansion, for example, and you see a flower that you like, you could sit there for 10 years watching it. You know, you don't have any appointments. You don't have any work to do. You could sit there for 100 years if you want. There's no time pressure whatsoever. So it's quite a difficult concept to think about. And when you carry it further, you could even think about things like if you want to spend an entire year with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would give you that time. If you want, if for example, you were reading in history and there were some things that you want to clarify about Umar al-Khattab, you can go and meet him and spend an entire month with him to discuss what happened. There's no time pressure, so there's no reason why this offer would be turned down. If they're busy for the first billion years, you can meet them after that. There's no time pressure whatsoever, and that's why Ibn Qayyim, when he talks about in his book about Jannah, I mean, he mentions some strange things. He says that a man would be sleeping for his wife for 80 years. I mean, you think about 80 years. So, and Allah, he mentions that it's in a hadith, but it might be a weak hadith. I think it's in a Tirmidhi. But all these things are possible, because there's no time pressure whatsoever. You're free to do whatever you want. You are given four rivers. You could go and spend the entire summer on this river, enjoying its beauty. Because there's no limit. And our minds in dunya are incapable of thinking outside the box when it comes to time. We cannot understand, you know, okay, I understand what billion years means, what a billion years means, but infinity, the everlasting, it never stops. It keeps on going. The Energizer Bunny would die, and he's still alive in Jannah. Nothing stands between you and this enjoyment except dying as a shaheed. Compare this lifestyle to what you have in this world. Number 8, desire to live longer, to do more good deeds. You might not want to participate in jihad because you are not ready and you want to do more good deeds. So you have a good intention in delaying jihad, but let me tell you that you are being deceived. Allah says, O mankind, indeed the promise of Allah is true. So let not the worldly life delude you and be not deceived about Allah by the deceiver. Indeed, Satan is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. He only invites his party to be among the companions of the blaze. Fatir, verse 5 and 6. There's nothing more than a trap by shaitan. That is not the way of the awliya of Allah. Weren't the sahaba and the tabi'een keener to do more good deeds than you? But that never held them back from fighting in the cause of Allah. Can't you hear Allah telling you, go forth, whether light or heavy, and strive with your wealth and your lives in the cause of Allah. That is better for you if you only knew. At-Tawbah 41. Can't you see that the best way to better yourself is actually through jihad? Allah says, but Allah has preferred the mujahideen over those who remain behind with a great reward. An-Nisa 95. In fact, there is nothing that compares to jihad. The Messenger of Allah says, standing in the ranks of the army in the battlefield is greater than worshipping Allah among your family for 70 years. That's in At-Tirmidhi, Bayhaqi and Al-Hakim. O you who have deceived yourself, realize that the sleep of the mujahid is better than the praying of the night and the fasting of the day for everyone else. Number 9, love of your wife. If you cannot go to jihad because you are attached to your beautiful wife, then even if you were to assume that your wife is the best woman in the whole world, and that she is the most beautiful woman in the whole world, now didn't she start out as a lowly droplet and would end as a decomposed body? And in between her birth and death, she never ceased carrying stool in her gut. Her menstrual period keeps you away from her for a good portion of her life. Her disobedience is more than her obedience. If she does not wash, she would smell horrible. If she doesn't comb, her hair becomes ruffled. The older she gets, the more ugly she becomes. Pleasing her is not easy. And her love costs you a lot. You are always trying to impress her, and nothing is ever enough. She only loves you when you give her what she wants. And if you don't, she would soon leave you and find someone else. As if she is telling you, if you want me, spend on me. In general, you cannot enjoy her without enduring pain and suffering. It is amazing how such a woman is keeping you away from the woman of paradise. In the name of Allah, the blood of the shaheed does not dry before he meets his wife in paradise. She is beautiful, with big lustrous eyes, a virgin as if she is an emerald. She has loved no one and will love no one but you. She was created for you and only you. If her finger appears, it would overshadow the moon. If her bracelet appears in the dark night, it would leave no darkness in the universe. If her wrist appears, it would take away the mind of every sane human being. If she appears between the heaven and earth, the distance between them would be filled by her scent, and if she spits in the oceans of the world, the salt water would turn fresh. The more you look at her, the more beautiful she becomes. The more time you spend with her, the more you love her. Does it make any sense to learn about such a woman and not try to meet her? What about when you learn that you will not be married to one but 70 of the hur? Keep in mind that leaving your wife behind is inevitable. You will die, and so would she. And inshallah, you will be reunited in paradise, and then you will find her to be even more beautiful than the hur. When that happens, you will find her free of all of the contaminations of this worldly life. Wake up before it's too late. Free yourself from this prison, from the prison of this world, and pray to Allah to grant you martyrdom. Don't let anything stand between you and this great reward. Abu Huraira narrates, the Messenger of Allah said, the shaheed feels the pain of death just like one of you would feel the sting of an insect. And this hadith is Hasan. It's narrated by Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah and Ahmad. So this is the end of the mu'adha. The virtues of jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not equal are those believers remaining at home, other than the disabled, and the mujahideen in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their lives. Allah has preferred the mujahideen through their wealth and their lives over those who remain behind by degrees. And to all, Allah has promised the best reward. But Allah has preferred the mujahideen over those who remain behind with a great reward. Degrees for him and forgiveness and mercy, and Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. An-Nisa 95-96. Now this ayah, two things can be derived from it. First of all, that jihad al-talab is fard kifayah and is not fard ayn. That the offense of jihad is fard kifayah. Because we mentioned that Sa'id bin Musayyib holds the view that jihad is fard ayn. We're talking about jihad al-talab. But this ayah is comparing between the two, and is saying that to all, Allah has promised reward. So Allah, how can Allah say that He's promising reward if somebody is doing a sin? So there's an evidence that jihad al-talab, the offense of jihad, is farad kifaya. But it's also an evidence that jihad is the best of deeds. That there's nothing better than jihad fi sabilillah. Because Allah explicitly states that the mujahideen are better than the qa'adeen, and the qa'adeen is talking about the qa'adeen in general. Whether they are ubad, whether they are scholars, whether they are serving in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether they are giving sadaqat, al-qa'adeen in general, no matter what they do, are lower in status than the mujahid fi sabilillah. Allah says, so let those fight in the cause of Allah, who sells the life of this world for the hereafter. And he who fights in the cause of Allah and is killed, or achieves victory, we will bestow upon him a great reward. An-Nisa 74. The ones who have believed, immigrated, and striven in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their lives are greater in rank in the sight of Allah. And it is those who are the attainers, and it is those who are the attainers of success. Their Lord gives them good tidings of mercy from Him, and approval and of gardens for them wherein is enduring pleasure, abiding therein forever. Indeed, Allah has with him a great reward. At-Tawbah 20-22. In At-Tawbah 111, indeed, Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their properties in exchange for that they will have paradise. They fight in the cause of Allah, so they kill and are killed. It is a true promise binding upon him in the Torah and the Gospel and the Quran. And who is truer to his covenant than Allah? So rejoice in your transaction which you have contracted, and it is that which is the great attainment. Two things in this ayah. Number one, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى. Allah has bought. Allah Azza wa Jal is offering you to buy your soul and your wealth. Allah wants to buy something from you, and that is your soul. And Allah is offering you, as one of the scholars said, اشْتَرَى مِنْهُمْ وَأَغْلَى لَهُمُ الثَّمَنِ. Allah Azza wa Jal offered to buy from them, and He set a very, very high price. Allah is going to pay for the price of your soul, Jannah. The most expensive commodity. When the Ansar were meeting with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Bay'at al-Aqaba al-Thaniya, Abdullah ibn Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is what I want from you. You testify that there is no God but Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah. And you protect me from that which you protect your wives and your children. Therefore, this was called Bi'atul Nisa, the pledge of women. Why? Because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking for the protection that the Ansar would give to their women and property. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is what I want from you. Abdullah bin Rawaha said, that is what you're asking from us, what will we get in exchange? I mean, this is a deal here. We're negotiating a deal. This is what you want from us, what are you going to pay us back? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not tell them, you're going to become wealthy. He didn't say, I'm going to appoint you as ministers in my government. He didn't tell them, you're going to become kings after I pass away. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, لَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. You will get Jannah. What did the Ansar say? قَالُوا رَبِحَ الْبَيْعِ لَا نَقِيلُ وَلَا نَسْتَقِيلُ. This is a very profitable deal. We will never back out of it. So the agreement is that you give Allah Azza wa Jal your soul and your wealth, Allah Azza wa Jal in exchange will give you Jannah. That's number one. Number two, the ayah says that this contract is even mentioned in the Torah and Gospel. You see, with the Anbiya of Allah, like Hud, Salih, Nuh, it wasn't part of their Sharia to fight. Qital wasn't part of the Sharia. Hud alayhi salam and his followers were not given the instruction to fight. they were given the instructions to leave. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, through a supernatural event, will destroy the enemy. With Salih alayhi salam, the same thing. With Nuh alayhi salam, the flood. With Lut alayhi salam, the destruction of the people of Lut. So they were not given the command to fight. This was a command reserved for the latter nations. And the first ummah to fight jihad fi sabilillah is the ummah of who? Musa alayhi salam. And that's what makes Banu Israel the greatest ummah after the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because it's an ummah of da'wah and jihad. Therefore, this is something mentioned in the Torah, and mentioned in Al-Injil, and mentioned in the Quran. Muhammad verse 7, O you who have believed, if you support Allah, He will support you, and plant firmly your feet. In Al-Hujurat 15, the believers are only the ones who have believed in Allah and His Messenger, and then doubt not, but strive, make jihad with their properties and their lives in the cause of Allah. It is those who are truthful. In As-Saff, verse 10 to 13, O you have believed, shall I guide you to a transaction that will save you from painful punishment? It is that you believe in Allah and His Messenger, and strive in the cause of Allah with your wealth and your lives. That is best for you, if you should but know. He will forgive you your sins, and admit you to gardens beneath which rivers flow, and pleasant dwellings in gardens of perpetual residence. That is the great attainment. And you will obtain another favor that you love, victory from Allah, and an imminent conquest, and give good tidings to the believers. Jihad is the best deed after salah and being dutiful towards one's parents. The Messenger of Allah was asked, what is the most beloved act of worship in the eyes of Allah? Rasulullah ﷺ said, praying on time. I said, then what? He said, being dutiful towards your parents. I said, then what? He said, jihad in the path of Allah. This hadith is in Bukhari. Ibn Umar used to consider jihad to be the best of all deeds after salah, and this is mentioned by Al-Bayhaqi. The next heading, jihad is the greatest deed after believing in Allah. Rasulullah ﷺ was asked, what is the best of all acts of worship? He said, believing in Allah. He was then asked, and then what? He responded, jihad in the path of Allah. Then he was asked, and then what? He said, and accepted Hajj. That's in Bukhari and Muslim. In Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, Ma'iz narrates, the Messenger of Allah was asked, what is the best deed? He said, believing in Allah, and then jihad, and then Hajj, which would be better than every other deed, like the distance between the sunset and the sunrise. So, believing in Allah, jihad and Hajj are way above everything else. These three deeds are above everything else, the distance between sunrise and sunset. In Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Dharr narrates, I asked the Messenger of Allah about the best deeds. He said, believing in Allah and jihad in His path. Abu Qatada narrates that the Messenger of Allah stood and delivered a reminder to them and said that jihad in the path of Allah and believing in Allah are the greatest deeds. A man then stood up and asked, O Messenger of Allah, what if I was killed in the path of Allah? Would my sins be forgiven? The Messenger of Allah said yes. And this is in Muslim. Abu Hurairah narrates that the Messenger of Allah said, the best of deeds in the eyes of Allah are a belief in Allah with conviction, ghazu with no ghulul. Ghulul is money unlawfully taken from the ghanimah, and an acceptable Hajj. The next heading, jihad is greater than worshipping in the house of Allah and serving it and serving the pilgrims. And Nu'man ibn Bashir narrates, I was sitting next to the pulpit of the Messenger of Allah when a man came and said, I wouldn't mind if I don't do anything after becoming a Muslim but serving the pilgrims. Meaning after saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, I wouldn't mind doing nothing but serving the pilgrims. Meaning I consider this to be the best of deeds. Another man said, I wouldn't mind if I don't do anything after becoming a Muslim but praying in the sacred masjid, the Masjid al-Haram. A third man said, no, jihad in the path of Allah is better than what you said. So Umar ibn Khattab scolded them and told them to stay quiet and not raise their voices next to the pulpit of the Messenger of Allah. He then said, this is Friday, and in a short while, Muhammad ﷺ will come out of his house and give us khutbah. And I will ask him about what you said. He asked Muhammad ﷺ, and Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayat, have you made the providing of water for the pilgrim and the maintenance of the Masjid al-Haram equal to one who believes in Allah and the last day and makes jihad in his cause? They are not equal in the sight of Allah. And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. And this hadith is in Muslim. So this hadith, so this ayah explicitly states that jihad is better than serving the pilgrims in Masjid al-Haram and worshipping Allah in the Masjid al-Haram. The reference is that jihad is the greatest deed of all. Amr ibn Absa narrates, a man came to the Messenger of Allah and said, what is Islam? He said, Islam is submission of your heart, and that the Muslims are safe from your tongue and your hands. He said, what is the best of Islam? The Messenger of Allah said, Iman. He said, then what is Iman? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the resurrection after death. He said, what is the best of Iman? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hijrah. He said, what is the best of, or he said, what is Hijrah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to leave sins behind. He said, what is the best of Hijrah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jihad. He then said, what is the best of Jihad? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one whose horse is slain and his blood is spilled. And this is in Ahmad, Tabarani, and Bayhaqi. So now again, he asked about Islam. He then asked, what is the best of Islam? Rasulullah told him, Iman. He said, then what's the best of Iman? He said, the best of Iman is Hijrah. What's the best of Hijrah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jihad. And what's the best of Jihad? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Martyrdom. Therefore, Jihad becomes the best of the best of the best. And then the best of that is martyrdom. So it's the cream of the cream of the cream. The Messenger of Allah told the man, become a Muslim. The man said, what is Islam? He responded to him and then he asked him about Hijrah and Jihad. The man said, what is Jihad? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you fight in the cause of Allah and you do not fear fighting the enemy and you do not commit ghalul, and that is in al-Bayhaqi. In Bukhari, Aisha narrates that she told the Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, we see that jihad in the cause of Allah is the greatest deed. Shouldn't we then make jihad? So here the hadith is saying that even the woman used to consider jihad to be the greatest of deeds. I mean, it was common knowledge that it's the greatest of deeds. Rasulullah ﷺ told them, for you the best jihad.